is pray for Abel, the gentleman that you saw in the video talking. He's our Timothy down there, and God brought him to me. He survived the Guatemalan conflict, and probably told you about his family being massacred, and he's just got a great heart for his people. He was just voted the leader of the village around the church there, which means everybody has to come to him for any type of issues. And it's so funny. I give him all West Virginia gear, and you guys would be so proud of me when it comes to that, man. And he's got a West Virginia hat, and he sent me a picture that his daughter did the other day, and Abel's sitting there with a West Virginia hat, grinning ear to ear, holding a shotgun. And I was like, where did he get a shotgun from? And he thought I'd like that because he knows I hunt deer. He's always said, oh, hermano, which means brother, I'd love to come to West Virginia and Ohio and hunt deer with you. And because he's the village leader, he's also security now, I guess. He's the long arm of the law and everything. A side note pertaining to the West Virginia. I'm talking so bad, I've got his dog, has a West Virginia dog collar on it. And we go up to the feeding center one day, and they are just tickled pink when we showed up. And Abel's wife, Josefina, she was the one that was lighting that stove in the video. And Josefina, and by the way, if you come down, we will eat some awesome food off that stove right there. She can cook now. But anyway, she pulled me outside. And she goes, look what Freddie did, their son Freddie. And he had a huge flying WV painted on the front of the feeding center. And it says West Virginia Mountaineers. And I thought, man, I need to send that to the university and show them what's going on down there. They're doing well, and it's been a challenge, and just pray for him as far as the Bible training and also the other pastors. We have pastors now that come from neighboring villages. For them, it's several hours walk, and they'll come to us, and they want trained in the Word. It's just a great responsibility, and just pray that God would also give us more nationals. We have a core group of about 8 nationals that work with Suffer the Children now on a full-time basis, including Pastor Abel and his wife. But we need a few more key components to really help, especially when it comes to the pastoral training. And then also pray, if you would, for Pachamuline, where the ladies were speaking, where the majority of the kids you saw. We've had 2 acres in that village now for 2 years. And the Lord's just really not, I don't want to say he's not open the door for us to start work on it, as much as it is probably I've been afraid of it, because we do a lot of projects and things. We're in a third world country. So we're always helping get somebody off a dirt floor, or quit breathing a bonfire in their living room, or in their living room, that's the little shack. But we really need to have a central point to be able to do our Bible, to be able to start a church in Pachamuline, and also, of course, to feed the children there. And we've been sitting on it, but I know for sure that this is probably going to be one of those $250,000 type projects. We've got to have a building for at least, I'd say, 300 children, and then we also have to put a wall around that. You have to protect your assets in a country like that, of course, even in villages, because we can't be there all the time. But we're going to start. When I get back, I'll be back there on Saturday, and I'm going to go take measurements next week. And Tess is like, we just got to do it. And I said, well, all right, we're just going to take some of our money, and we'll just go build the wall. I'm going to go build the wall in Guatemala. I never thought about that. Dang on it. I could have done that the whole time I was here to many churches. I could have really got... I would have been a whole message on how I'm going to build the wall. That would have been great. I'm going to do it next time I come back. But I'm going to build the wall in Guatemala. And it's going to get us down to where the foundation of the building is going to be, so we can begin to start praying and fundraising for that. And it's tremendous. It's way... Everything I do is bigger than who I am. But this just feels something that, to me, is just beyond my comprehension of how it's even going to happen. But our goal is by the end of this year to be able to use that facility. And so we've not even thrown a shovel in the ground yet. So just pray. Pray for our faith. Pray for, you know, we're going to have about 15 different groups come down this year. So, you know, you're talking, that's a good amount. So that's 3.5 months where we have folks down in the country. And again, encourage you all, if you ever want to come down, it's the door's open. And we frequently have folks, and we have a schedule, and it's very well put together. It's not a nonchalant thing, and you show up and nothing's going on. You're moving when you hit the ground until you go back to the United States. And we have, matter of fact, most people that come are people that just come every year now because they enjoy it so much. But thank you for your prayers. Stop by. We'll be by for a few moments. I'm not going to be long. I know you're like, man, it's noon and the pot roast is cranking. And trust me, I'm hungry too. And I'm only going to try to, Lord willing, take about 10 minutes and just share a central thought in John. I want you to read Luke 1. I'm going to just share one verse with you. hit a couple verses, I've not really been a 3 points, 5 points, and a poem type of person. I've always been more central on one thing. It seems like God always points out to me, and he certainly did here. In verse 63 of Luke chapter number 1, "And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, 'His name is John,' and they marveled all." You're like, well, that is just a... By the way, I'm not going to just pick this verse out and take it out of context, but you're going to be like, wow, how did that verse, how are we going to get something this morning? I've got an interesting quote, and I believe we all agree with this quote. It says, "Actions prove who someone is." Listen to this now, because this, I'm getting like right into it. I've got like 9.3 seconds or minutes left. "Actions prove who someone is. Words just prove who they want to be." Actions prove who someone is. Words just prove who they want to be. This, we just came off of a wonderful time of year, Christmas time, and we were in Luke a lot. And I'm sure this church was, Sunday school classes all over this world, and rightfully so this time of year. And it just, obviously, we can't, how can we top Luke chapter 2 and the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? But preceding that in Luke chapter number 1 is an amazing event that happened with John the Baptist. And specifically, I want to look into for just a minute the life and what happened during that time to his father, Zechariah. This wasn't the Immaculate Conception, but it nonetheless was marvelous and a miracle what happened at this time. We could go through the story very quickly and see where Zacharias was foretold of his son's birth. If you go back, as I'm kind of speaking these few minutes, you can bounce your eyes here and verify what I'm saying. That Zacharias was foretold of his son's birth in 11 through 17. And then we read in verse 18, which is the shocker of the whole deal, right? That he couldn't believe was being told unto him. It says, "And Zechariah said unto the angel, 'Whereby shall I know this? For I am old man. I'm an old man. My wife is well stricken in years.'" Now remember what I said about actions speaking louder than our words. He can't believe it. What is amazing to me, if we look back a few verses, is this is something verse 13 says, "But the angel said unto him, 'Fear not, Zacharias.'" Why? "For thy prayer is heard." This is something that he had wanted. This is something that he had been praying for. But when the time came for that prayer to be answered, for God's will to be accomplished in his life, he simply couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. And because of what happened here, many of us here today, if you don't know the story and what happened to him, he was made dumb at that moment. And he said, "Fine, you're not going to speak a word until your son is born. You're not going to be able to talk at all." I don't know if there's any other restrictions there, but we know for sure that he could not say a thing. Because of his actions here, what happened? Now, we know his life in verses 5 through 10. It talks a little bit about his life and what he did. This was a righteous man. This was a man that served in the temple. Matter of fact, it says what his lot was in verse number 9. "According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot or his duty was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord." This wasn't some Joe Schmo. You know, this was Zechariah, and he was in the temple and everybody knew who he was, and he was a great guy. But when it came time to actually show that belief, that action, he just couldn't do it. Because of that, the consequence was unbelievable. And that's really what my central theme and thought is this morning. Is where are we at in our Christian life? And again, they say when you point one finger, you have three pointing back to you. It's the same thing all the time. It's Groundhog Day for me. Anytime I have the privilege to speak and open God's Word, I'm convicted, like I'm sure some of us are this morning. How much do I talk about doing the will of God? How much do I talk about what I'm going to do with my family? I'm going to confess some sin this morning to you. One area, my wife's smiling. She's like, "Preach it, brother." And she's probably got the list. Give me the list. I know she has one for me. But I'm just giving you a hard time, hon. But I keep saying, I want to do a better, and wife will say, "Yes, you're right, I know it." I hate even saying this because it's embarrassing. I want to do a better job discipling my son. And don't get me wrong, it's not that I don't spend time with him and I'm not discipling him some, but some's not enough. And I know it in the day and age we're living in, and where he's going to have to live and where his kids are going to have to live, and maybe his grandkids someday. And my actions are speaking like I might as well just be of the world, you know. Now, my words are awesome, man, because I've got these plans and I've got stuff, and I just can't execute. I get too busy in the ministry. I've got too much to do. I've got a group coming, and I'm tired when I get home, son, and maybe later, and I'm failing in that area. And we all see that, but really what I want us to get at is when I read this, what blew me away beyond the story of that is what he missed out on because of that unbelief. Can you imagine if we go down through this story this morning, if we had the time to go through all this, but we know that Mary came and saw Elizabeth. He got to miss the going to the temple. Can you imagine how braggadocious, as they say, that he would have been, and rightfully so, with what God did? Having a conversation like that with one of the Lord's angels, to be able to actually go and to glorify him, which I'm sure he would have done. Probably, I assume he would have. I see no reason to believe why he wouldn't have. He didn't get to do anything. He didn't get to recount the story with his wife. He didn't get to share any of that joy. When Mary came and when John leapt in the womb of his wife, can you imagine how awesome that moment was? And he didn't get to rejoice in any of that. I don't know if he was there and he sat by and he watched all this happen, watched them rejoicing. But the point is, as you can imagine, he could not participate like he wanted to participate because of his actions and because of what he'd done. He had to just sit by idly, quietly. Whenever it came time for his wife to give birth to John, he was not able to participate like he wanted to. He could not give any comforting words to his wife during childbirth because of what he'd done. And then we see as we go, if you want to jump forward closer to where we started in verse 63. In verse 57, we see where Elizabeth gives birth to John. But there was a little argument that ensued because they called him, in verse number 59, Zacharias, after the name of his father. And I wish I would have done that with my son. I didn't do it, so I understand why they wanted to do that. But then it says in verse number 60, and his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And he said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. What are you thinking? His name is going to be Zacharias. And it says, and then they made signs to his father. Now remember now, he's having to sit and watch all this go down too. He can't do anything. And this is where it happens. And then they made signs to his father how he would have him called in 63. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all in verse 64. Finally, and it's not in there, but I'm just saying that. Finally, in verse 64, and his mouth was opened immediately by his actions. His mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. But again, everything that happened because of that unbelief. Because of that unbelief. And again, I don't know in your life exactly where you're at. I'm going to read a story to you and we're going to close. And keeping this thought of how does our walk match up with our talk in the Christian life? And I know you say this is very fundamental, this is very rudimentary, this is stuff that we're teaching in the primary classes downstairs, and I understand that. But I guess I can gauge myself if I would think of a level of spiritual maturity from babe to an elderly person in Jesus Christ, spiritually speaking. I would think I know in my mind where I'm at there. But I would also like to say this, that and not to offend, but just it seems to me to be a fact. And Pastor, you're going to go to fellowship, and you talk to a lot of pastors. And Pastor, you do too, you know. I would guess that the percentage of folks today in church, which is the scary thing, which was so awesome, that when you told me that you didn't want to do Sunday school because you wanted to stay with what you're on, I thought that was awesome. That encouraged me. I want to tell you why, because you've got a plan and you're trying to disciple people. And I go, and I've been in it long enough now, I've been in hundreds and hundreds of churches. And the percentage of people I think today sitting in our churches that are still babes in Christ is astronomical. When we can get angry and walk away, from what God's called us to do within the local body because somebody didn't say something about whatever, or, you know, we just so babe things that we do in Him all the time. All the time. And so we've got to oftentimes hear these types of things over and over and over and over again. You say it, do it. You say it, do it. You say it, do it. You say you're going to be a better father. You say you're going to do this with your wife. I can tell you this right now, when I get, and I know it's a shocker, me and my wife have been married 21 years, almost 22 years, and if we get into an argument, yes, that happens from time to time, where we get in arguments, and usually she is right in those arguments, but when we get in those arguments, you know, I can say harsh things, things I should never say. Just, you know, a word the wrong way, or I say this, it kind of a backhanded type of comment, and then we'll repent and get right with one another and whatnot. And generally, it's my fault. And what happens is later on, you know, I got to take off and go do something. You know, say we're in Guatemala and I got to run over to the office or something, and I say, "See you later, hon. I love you." Oh, well, what's that for? I love you. Well, what the means, you know what it means, guys. It means, well, if you love me, you wouldn't have just talked to me like that, would you? Oh, man, you talk about convicting. You're like, oh, yeah, you're right. And she's right. Amen. Man, my actions spoke way louder than my words are easy. Amen. Hey, we know the lie, right? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is like the biggest lie of all time, because words do hurt. Amen. I've had broken bones, and they've healed. But I remembered anything, everybody, any cross word almost that someone said to me. Not that I haven't forgiven people, but I can't. It's in my mind. You know, it's there. And I need to show that to her. And the same thing with our Savior. Another quote that I read, that I thought this was good. People may not always tell you what they feel about you, but they will always show you. So pay attention. Right? People may not always tell you, and it's the same with our Lord and Savior. We can tell Him what we think about Him, but He knows our hearts and He knows our actions. And it's high time, folks, that we show Him. End with this, and I know I said I was going to a second ago. A spy was captured and sentenced to death by a general in the Persian army. Before carrying out the sentence, the general gave the spy a strange choice. He told him he could have his choice of a firing squad or this big black door. After much deliberation, the spy thought about it and he chose the firing squad. And within a few moments, he was dead. The general turned to his aide who was standing nearby and said, "They always prefer the known way to the unknown way." The aide then asked the general, "Well, what's behind the big black door?" The general bellowed out, "Freedom! Behind the big black door is a passageway that leads outside, but only a few have been brave enough to see what was behind it." And folks, in our lives today, we all have big black doors. We all have opportunities. We all have opportunities. And I know that this church has got it going on. There's a lot of work to do here in this local church. And so there's doors everywhere. Everywhere. And do we have the courage? Do we have the courage, the gumption, to quit talking about it and walk through it? And do it. And not just die right. They talk about a crab. And you know when a crab dies? When it quits breaking out of its shell and growing, it dies. Amen? And a lot of times in our Christian life, we'll go through a spurt, we'll break out of a shell, and we'll grow a little bit. But you know what? A lot of us are kind of in that halfway point, or we're just comfortable in that maybe that juvenile shell that we're in right now, and we don't want to break out of it because we have fear. We're willing to die, not fully developed in Him, and woe is us when we stand in front of Him that day and that stage that we were in that we're not supposed to be in. You're supposed to be way over here. And like John the Baptist, I'm sure when he looked back in hindsight of all, Zacharias, when he looked back in hindsight, all the things that he missed out on, all the things because of his actions. And we're going to have to do the same thing someday. Folks, I want to encourage you. This isn't a missions. I know, I see it. It permeates your church, your heart, for missions. This is just a sermon on service. Yeah. And doing what you are supposed to do for Him, what you know you should do for Him, what He's pricking at your heart right now about. And walk through it and don't be afraid. You think when I became a missionary, and listen, I'm from outside of Wood County, West Virginia, and cultured enough to be able to get up and speak, but yet redneck enough to know what all those things are about, just that whole lifestyle, not just the terminology. And don't you think that when I see doors, oftentimes, that I'm scared to death, I don't want to go through them? But I've said this, I've opened my mouth unto the Lord, as the Bible says, I cannot go back. I got to go through it. And you guess what? Sometimes we open a door and we get hit in the face with a big old snowball, man. You know, it's not like we open the door all the time and it's all just, you know, roses and we're skipping around. No. Sometimes we're opening doors into suffering. Why? Because He wants us to go through it. You say, God, anything in your life, not my will, but yours be done. I tell you what, when my dad was at the doorstep of heaven and I had to pray God's will that He just take him, because it was clear at that point, this is God's will. That was a hard thing to do. Brother, to go through that door. That was a hard door to open. And I can't say I was happy opening, but I opened it, trusted in Him. And many of you guys have opened those same doors. And again, this isn't something I hope you understand, or at least feel my heart this morning. It's not a brow-beating type of thing. It's more of just a call to action and an encouragement and a push forward a little bit just to keep going for Him. We need you. This world needs you. When I'm down in Guatemala serving, I need you here serving. Likewise, you want us to, and we do the best that we can, and as I said, we don't do it perfect, and you expect to see us working, and maybe God will give us some fruit for our labors. And you know what? We want the same thing for you guys, to happily serve in Him. Happily serving Him. I believe you're doing it, folks. We love you guys. I really do. I really love you guys, and I believe you're doing it, but I also know us, the human beings, all made out of the same cookie dough. But we all still have some stuff kind of right there. Maybe you peaked a little bit. I want to encourage you to open it and go through it this morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as Pastor comes to close this service, Lord, I don't know where each and every person's at, and quite frankly, it is none of my business to know. I believe in a priesthood of the believer, Lord, and I believe that everybody here this morning has a relationship with You, has the ability to communicate with You and talk to You, be convicted by Your Holy Spirit. Lord, maybe somebody is facing something. It's a difficult time, and they don't want to walk through that. Maybe it's somebody here, and they've been wanting to lead the family better. Maybe they've talked to pastor about doing something here. They've expressed interest and said, yeah, we'd like to do that, or and maybe have all these ideas You've put on their heart, but yet they've not taken that step of action. Lord, we don't want to see You someday and just see storehouses of blessings sitting there, because we did not have the faith and the courage to walk through those big black doors in our life, Lord. Help us to do it today, Lord, before it's too late. In Your name we pray.